We have a lot of things to discuss, so if you are a member of our church, please be here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for our congregational meeting. Bob has just put on the back the address for my nephew. Most of you know my nephew is in jail and really discouraged. And if you could send him a birthday card, I think that would be really encouraging to him. What day is his birthday? The 21st. So all the information's on the back table, so please check that out. And if you could, send him a card to encourage him. Take your Bibles and turn to John. Passage we just read, John chapter 15. I want to talk about an issue that probably most of us have never dealt with. On your way to church this morning, probably was not people standing in the road with guns saying, if you go to church, we're going to shoot you. Probably during the week, no one came to your house and said, if you have a Bible, we want them all. Probably in your life, you have faced little persecution because of the name of Christ. Some of us have. Some of us have faced persecution from losing a job because you're unwilling to do what your boss or your manager or the owner wanted you to do because you knew it went against God's word. Some of us maybe have faced some persecution from family because you've given your life to Christ. But all around this world, there is great persecution going out against believers. And if you look at the big poster on my right, your left, and then there's one on the back as you walk out, they are there to remind us that around this world there are Christians who are seeking to live a life pleasing to God. And simply because they are trying to do that, they are being persecuted. Watch this short video. We thank you so much for the freedom we have in this country to worship you. But Father, I pray that we would not forsake the freedom we've been given. It's a scary thought, Father, when we find that we spend more on dog and cat food than we do missions and winning people to Christ. Lord, help us to take the freedom we have and use it to impact lives and to live for you and to bring you praise. I pray, Father, for fellow Christians around the world, as we saw in this video in Iran, for those who are suffering because of simply loving you. I pray, Lord, that they may gain freedom. But even more importantly, Father, we pray that their lives might lead to the salvation of others. So speak to our hearts this morning, Father, as we look at this subject. Help us, Lord, to bring you praise through our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 15. I want to say a few things about persecution this morning. And the first is this: it's guaranteed. The Bible teaches us that persecution is guaranteed. In John 15 and verse 18, it says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If the world hates you, it's because it hated me first. If you're of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now I wonder, when is the last time you walked around and the world hated you? You know, we read this passage of Scripture, and I think in America we think, well, that doesn't apply to me. But the Bible says that if we live for Christ, this world will hate us. So we ought to ask ourselves, are we really living for Christ? It's sad in America that we are so concerned with growing large churches, and we're willing to throw out everything just so we could get more people. Heard the other day, a pastor on TV was asked if Mormonism was Christian. And just so he would gain the favor of this world, he said, yeah, Mormonism is Christian. No, it's not. It's a cult. And we are willing to set aside things that Christ has said we ought to live and we ought to believe. I don't think we walk too much like Christian, like a Christian should. It says, if you know him, this world's going to hate us. Notice verse 21. But all these things they will do to you, and underline this sentence or phrase in your Bible, I would encourage you to do that, on account of me. On account of me. World's going to hate us. The world's not going to listen to us. The world is going to persecute us. Verse 20. Verse 21, why? On account of me. The world will persecute us. The world will hate us. The world will not listen to us. Why? On account of me. Skip down to verse 25. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without cause. You know, think about what they did to Jesus. Think about what they did to Jesus. They killed him without cause. There is no good cause for what they do, for what they did to him. And we in America, what do we do? What does many Americans do who name the name of Christ? Well, if we could be bothered, we'll go to church. If we're not too tired, we'll go to church. And maybe if we do go to church, we'll just sleep during the whole service. If we're not inconvenienced, then maybe we'll go to a second church service during the week. But you know what? That's a little bit of a bother. And if God has really blessed us, then we'll throw a couple coins in the offering. But we're certainly not going to sacrifice for Christ. Can you imagine being in Iran where you walk into a service and you're taken out by being beaten? In fact, I know of a couple of pastors in Afghanistan that were beaten in Afghanistan, beaten badly. The only reason, they were preaching the gospel. They were able to get those pastors out safely before they were killed. And what did those men say, those pastors? They wish they were back with their brothers and sisters in Christ back in Afghanistan. I think we've really lost in America what Christianity is all about. The Bible teaches that there's two reasons why we may be persecuted. One is sin. Sometimes God will deal with his children because they've sinned, so God will come down and he will discipline us, and sometimes that discipline is the persecution of this world because of our own sinfulness. The other reason is because of our testimony. When we tell people we love Christ or that we're a Christian or that we're living for God, because of that testimony, they will hate us because they hated him. When is the last time somebody hated you because you said you love Jesus? In fact, when's the last time someone hated you because you lived like Jesus? Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 10. This is a similar passage to the one we just read. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 16, Jesus is sending the disciples out to tell this world about him. And he says, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you to courts and flog you in the synagogues. and you will be dragged before governors and kings, underline these words, for my sake. The world's going to drag you before governors and kings, before the authorities. Why? For my sake. To bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given you in that hour. It's not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child. And children rise against parents and have them put to death. It's not because they're mad at them or angry with them. It's because they hate the Christ that they live for. Brother against brother, child against child, parent against child, children against parents. And you will be hated by all. I'd underline these words, for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master to the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? I know of one pastor in Iran. He was being persecuted because he's a pastor, because he's a Christian. And other governments have come in on his behalf, and partly because of the voice of the martyrs and them reaching out and telling about what was going on. So the government decided we can't kill this guy because he's a Christian. At least with this guy, we'll get caught. So they've changed it around now. Now they're saying, well, the reason he's in jail is because he raped women. Jesus said, if they called him the devil, how much more will they call us? God guarantees that we will be persecuted. We saw that with Jesus. We saw that in the life of the Apostle Paul. In fact, turn there, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 13. No, that's not where I want to start. Verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, often near death. Five times I received at the hand of the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. And incidentally, you know why they do 40 minus 1? Because they knew if they added the 1, the person they were beating would be dead. So they would stop at 1 short so they didn't kill the person they were beating. He says, five times I received at the hand of the Jews 40 lashes minus 1. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys. In danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure of me, of my anxiety for all the churches. You know, when we talk about life, we talk about what we did on our last vacation. When we talk about life, we talk about the last exciting thing that happened, maybe. When the Apostle Paul talked about life, he talked about the last time he was beaten, nearly killed, for the name of Christ. Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. You know this chapter. It is the chapter of faith. It is the chapter that tells us about what God does in the lives of those who are faithful, and also about how faith looks in a person's life. But down in verse 32, instead of talking, you know, like a sentence or two about the person that is here listed in this great chapter of faith, he begins to talk in a more general way about those who live by faith. Verse 32, what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies in flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. You know, this is what we all want to hear. We all want to see God do something for us. We all want to do something great for God. And we get to this kind of jumbled list of all these people, one after another, and says, look, these are the things that God did through them. And I almost wish the Bible stopped there. Because then all these preachers on TV who tell you if you come to Jesus, everything's going to be great would be right. And the preachers who say, you know, if you love God, you're going to be healthy and you're going to be wealthy and everything's going to be great in your life. If we stop there, they would be right. Wouldn't it be great if it stopped there? But I want you to notice it doesn't. Living by faith, living the Christian life, doing what God wants you to do, isn't always going to put you in the place of success or the place of happiness or the place of everything going great. For in verse 35, he says, some were tortured, refusing to accept release. Why? The only way they would be released is if they recanted Christ, if they turned away from God, and they would not do that. They refusing to accept release. Why? So that they might see, or they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in sheep, or skins of sheep and goats, destituted, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. They didn't have a house to live in. In fact, we see even as we do archaeological digs, we find writings of Christians in caves where they hid, because if they hadn't hid, they would be killed simply because they loved Jesus. The Bible says that persecution is guaranteed. And we live in America and we have, for the most part, not have had to face that kind of persecution. But you know what? There is no guarantee that that will continue. In fact, the United States is right now in the midst of turning away from Christianity. We are now in the midst of becoming a non-Christian society. Isn't that amazing? Church, with all the freedom we've had, but our society, our culture around us is turning away from Christ far more than any culture in the world. And the only other culture in our era that has had the freedom we have had is Europe, and basically the European church has leaded us in the way in turning away from Christ. When you go to places like Africa and other places like China around the world where the church is persecuted, the church is growing like crazy. But it seems like we in America don't have time to go witness to people. We're too afraid, embarrassed. The Bible says that persecution is guaranteed, and it would not surprise me if it happened even here in America. I want you to notice a second thing, though. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Not only is persecution guaranteed, but I want you to know that it is rewarded. It is rewarded. Matthew chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, Jesus preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, and he says in verse 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." And I know you wouldn't be surprised if I told you to underline those three words. It's the words we've been seeing all the way through. He says, "on my account." "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." If you are persecuted for the name of Christ, now persecution is not the same as suffering. Suffering is, going through an operation or getting sick or, hurting your foot or breaking a bone or something. That's kind of suffering in life, or maybe having an accident, things like that. But what we're talking about is because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this world persecutes you on account of Him, on His account. In other words, the only reason you're being persecuted is because you love Jesus. And you're seeking to reach those who are around you, both men and women, both adults and children, to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of that, this world hates you. Did you see this girl in the film? From a little baby, she is taught in Islam to hate Christians. We are being told in America that that is not true. It is. But Jesus says here, look, if you are persecuted because of His name, you will be blessed. If you are persecuted because of His name, God will reward you. I was reading a passage of Scripture this week. As I thought about this, I was reminded of this passage. I want you to listen to it for a moment, and then I'll tell you what it is. It says, "But recall the former days, when after you were enlightened," in other words, after you were saved, "you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one." It's Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 32. Hebrews 10, 32 through 34. "People came to their homes and they took away all their property. In the first century and through the ages, many people lost their homes just because they loved Jesus." Could you imagine if someone came to your home and they said to you, came to your apartment and said to you, "Look, we don't want you loving this Jesus. All you got to do is say you're no longer going to love Jesus. You're no longer going to read your Bible. You're no longer going to pray. You're no longer going to try to win other people to Jesus, and we'll let you stay. But if you say you're going to still love Jesus, then you got to get out of your house right now." And you respond with, "But where am I going to live? Where am I going to go?" And they respond, "We don't care. We just want you out." And these people, it says, joyfully accepted the plundering of their home. I wonder, when Satan went to Job, or went to God about Job, he said to God, "The only reason, God, that Job serves you is because you've blessed him. But take away the blessing and Job won't serve you anymore." If God took away your house, if God allowed your children to die, if you were following Jesus and living for Jesus, and because of that, persecution began, and now everything you knew, everyone you know, has been taken away from you. And you're left without a car, you're left without a home. They've killed your children. They've killed your friends. Would you still follow Jesus? Would you joyfully accept these things because you know that you have a relationship with God? And then when that happens, would your response be to hate those who persecute you? I want you to think of a third thing this morning, and it's this. The response to persecution by those who are persecuted. If the world comes and persecutes us, how should we respond? Has there ever been a time in your life where you said, you know, that sermon I heard was absolutely great, but I wish I heard it before what I went through yesterday. I wish I heard it before what I went through last week or last month. In other words, I wish I heard the sermon before I had to deal with the issue. I want to do that right now. I want to give you the sermon you need to hear if persecution breaks out in America. If persecution breaks out in America, this is what the Bible says we ought to do as Christians. This should be our response. I'm going to quickly run through a couple of things. Number one, we are to pray for our persecutors. The person who takes your home, the person who takes your car, the person who kills your family members, the person who beats you, the person who takes all that you have, the Bible says we are to pray for them. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 48. In fact, when Stephen was taken outside the city and they began to stone Stephen, Stephen prayed that what they were doing would not be held against them. Just like when Jesus was on the cross and prayed the very same thoughts. Secondly, bless and don't curse them. Those who are persecuting you, the Bible says bless them. Bless them and don't persecute them. Don't seek vengeance. Don't try to get back at them. But leave room for the wrath of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 14 to 21. Thirdly, seek to lead them to Christ. Great lady during World War II by the name of Corrie ten Boom. You could read about her life. The books are probably still out there of how she took people as she was in jail and her jailers and would do things that the average person would never dream of doing because she wanted to win her persecutors to Jesus Christ. I love the story of the Apostle Paul as he stood before the authorities and they wanted to know what was going on in Paul's life. This is when he was on his way to Rome, when he was being taken to Rome and they were going to try him in Rome. Well, some of the authorities came, some of the civil authorities, and they wanted to know some about Paul and about the religion that he was in, the way they called it. So they sat down with the Apostle Paul and they said, "Tell us about yourself." And then from there, Paul began to explain his conversion, what God had done in his life, and how he had been faithful to God. And when he got down to the end of his testimony, the civil leader said, "Are you out of your mind? Do you think in such a short time you could lead me to Christ?" Paul said, "Short or long, I wish you all were like me except for these chains, the chains that were around his wrist because he followed Christ." You can read about that story in Acts chapter 25 and 26. Right now, we are not facing the persecution that this world is facing. I do believe that we are not far from it. I don't necessarily mean in time, but I think that things can change very quickly. And that does mean that the time could be short. So, We talked about the fact that it's guaranteed. We talked about the fact that we are rewarded because we're living for Christ. We talked about our responsibilities if we are persecuted. I want to give you one last thought. What if we're not persecuted? What if we never have to suffer for Christ? What then is our responsibility? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I want to begin in verse 1. It's a short passage. It says, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." You know that person you just gave the elbow to because they got too close to you? Could be an angel. "Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. The job of those who are not being mistreated, not being persecuted, and even those who are, is that we pray for those who are. We pray for those who are in prison because of the name of Christ. We think of ourselves as in prison with them. We pray for those who are mistreated, persecuted for the name of Christ. And we don't live in America with all the freedoms that we have and forget what is going on around the world. You know, sometimes I think we as Christians forget to think like Christians. And we begin to think like Americans who are losing our jobs. Right? We say, man, they're sending the jobs to China, they're sending jobs to India, they're sending jobs, you know, around the world. They're taking American money and they're giving it out around the world. How about us Americans? Why don't you leave it right here so we'll have jobs? Why don't you leave it right here so that we'll have something? Why don't we just quit doing that? I can't understand why our government does that. And isn't that how we talk? And then we take that talk and that thinking and we transfer it to missions. And we say, well, I'm not going to give any money towards missions because they're the same people taking my job. I'm not going to think about those people around the world. Let those people find a way to Christ themselves. But there are more Christians today living outside of America than there are in America. They do not enjoy the freedom we have, and they do not have the money we have. And they do not have the abilities that we have. And many of them are being persecuted simply for the sake of his name. Are we going to neglect to help them? Are we going to neglect to pray for them? I hope not. Let's pray. Father God, help us to understand our responsibilities. Help us, Lord, to think about those around the world who are living for you and oftentimes so much more faithful than we are. We're bothered how much time we might be stuck at church when they're out in the field or underground, or being beaten because they love you. We're more concerned and more bothered with what will happen with our health care and retirement. And they're being beaten with no way of, often, of being taken care of. Father, I pray that each person here would consider their relationship with you and whether they love you so much that it shows to this world. And I pray, Lord, that each person here would consider our fellow believers around the world who are being persecuted. And Father, I do pray for their safety. And I do, Lord, pray that others would come to you even though that they will be persecuted too. Help us, Lord, to love you. And Father, help us to pray, not just for ourselves, not just for our circle of friends. Lord, help us to consider those who are in prison and those who are persecuted for your name's sake, that you may be praised. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This time we'll ask our ushers to come forward as we take our morning offering. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for all that you've done for us. Help us, Lord, as we think about what we will give to you, as we think about what we will put in the offering. I pray, Lord, we might be faithful, each one of us faithful, Father, to what you've called us to do. May we give with a joyful heart, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Playing. Good job, Ezra. Charlie Poltoneri, as you may know, was in an accident this past week. A really bad accident. He broke 3 bones in his neck and he broke a bone in his hip. But he has an infection in his neck that has been messing everything up, and they really need to get in there and operate. And they've actually had him in the operating room and took him right back out and didn't do it. It's possible yesterday that they might have done the hip operation. We don't know. We didn't talk to anyone yesterday, but they need to do both those operations, and we need to be praying for him. Also, Lorraine, his wife, is down there, and family has very little money, and she doesn't drive very much, and both of their children and their families have been there up until today. Both families are leaving today, their kids, and she's going to be there by herself. So you probably got my email during the week. If you know anyone who lives in the Philadelphia area, or if you can help them any way financially, please do that. But also especially be praying for them. Lorraine's got to figure out how to circumvent down there and how to get around. They've been staying with the Daggers, but that's like an hour away from where the hospital is. And she really needs prayer and needs some help. So be thinking about them this week and praying what you might be able to do to help. Let's stand for closing word of prayer. Don't forget, if you're on the fellowship team, be meeting in my old office right after the service with Jeff. Father God, we do thank you for today. Lord, help us. Help us to consider our own testimony in this world, in this culture. And help us, Lord, to consider our brothers and sisters in Christ who are persecuted around this world. And Lord, may we pray for them. For we pray in Jesus' name.